When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, and this is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia studios. As always, Mike, Bo, and Tiff hanging out with you guys. And as you all just heard, there was a spirited chat going on about the college football playoff rankings that just dropped. And I know you guys have a lot to say about that. How are you feeling this morning?
Feeling good, Tiff. Feeling good. Feeling good.
Yeah, look, I'm ready to go. This is one of my favorite times of the year. The fall in general, right? Tiff, you and I have had this conversation a couple of times. Like, there's nothing better than October when college football season's rolling, the NFL season's rolling, you've got baseball playoffs, right? But in December, we get one of my favorite things to do. It's argue about college football. Because
one of your favorite things to do is argue regardless.
No, but it's especially about college football.
Let's call it debating.
Well, and argue is a loose term because it's a conversation, and it never should get, like, no one's walking away losing anything. Me and the fans, we're gaining something by having this sport, having this conversation, and it's fun. But I love the conversation about who deserves not. So much the fact that apparently I've gone back a year, and it's 2023, and there's only four teams that are allowed to get in, and there's 5 to 6 that people wanted to conversate about because I was having the conversation about last year's playoff and what it meant and people getting hung up on that. But it's just so much fun because the reality is, and Mike said something to me this morning, and it hung with me because it's exactly what I said would happen, and I think a lot of us said it, so I'm not alone in it, is we're talking about the fact that where Alabama's ranked in this current playoff, this year's playoff, and about how we're talking about Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, along with Miami, who only has two, but those other three teams have three losses, and how in the reality of the situation, in no way, shape, or form ever in college football have any of those four teams been deserving, really, of being in the national championship conversation, or since there's been a playoff in that conversation. Yet here we are.
You touched on brands yesterday. That's what you were talking about. Brand name teams always being in the mix.
And that's the only reason why they're in the mix right now, is because there's a couple of them that are brand names. But none of those teams in any year, really, are deserving of being in the national championship conversation. But because we expanded the playoff, suddenly we're talking about those teams. Like, Steven Garcia played for South Carolina. He's quarterback. I think most of you guys remember him. Played in the SEC championship game the year they played against Cam Newton. Steve Spurrier was the coach. And he said, if it's not rigged, then South Carolina will be in the playoffs. But he said Sunday or Saturday night one after the South Carolina beat Clemson. No, not really, Steven. And I love Steven Garcia. I've got a chance to hang out with him a couple of times. He's a fun guy, smart guy. But no, not really. They're not. They're not deserving. When you have a 24-point home loss, you're not deserving. Of course, Alabama has a 20-point road loss. And they, if SMU wins on Saturday, they're in.
Yeah.
And Tiffany hasn't even got a chance to give us the who's ranked where.
Not, but that's all right.
But I think they're 11 right now, or 12. They're 12, actually, I believe.
I didn't have a chance to talk. The crossover or that one. I'm ready to go.
I love this conversation. I am.
You want to get some words in before I read this list?
Go ahead and hit the list first. Yeah, okay. Go ahead and hit the list first.
All right, so you got Oregon at 1, Texas at 2, Penn State 3, Notre Dame 4, Georgia at 5, Ohio State 6, 7 is Tennessee, 8 SMU, 9 Indiana, 10 Boise State, 11 Alabama, 12 Miami, 13 Ole Miss, and as you mentioned with South Carolina, kind of on the outside of this 12-team thing at 14.
You've essentially, last night, guys, you eliminated Miami, Ole Miss, and South Carolina. They got eliminated. He said it himself in the presser. And I swear to y'all, and a lot of y'all don't believe me, but the ones who know me understand this. I swear I'm not saying this as a Bama guy. I'm looking at this and going, Miami's just out. There's no wiggle room. And he comes to this and he says, basically, the teams that are not playing this weekend will not move. And the only way that Bama gets left out of this, and I still don't even know if I agree with it, the only way they get left out is for SMU to get beat by Clemson and SMU to jump them. And even last night when he was asked about that, he said it's possible that SMU with a loss could fall back behind in Alabama. So, and the reason I struggle with that is because it's a 13th data point. I would have to think that SMU would get a nod over Alabama, but I'm trying to remove myself from the situation because I look at Alabama as a proud alum, and I look at them as a flawed football team. A team that lost by 3 touchdowns against a bad Oklahoma team, and you haven't lost a regular season game by 3 touchdowns probably in 20 years. And it might have been against Oklahoma freaking 20 years ago, 21 years ago, the last time you lost a game that bad. So it's been interesting because I've been like, man, I don't know if Bama deserves that spot. And then you look at the teams around them, and I go, well, I don't know if any of them deserve that spot either. And I know that there's Miami fans that are up in arms. South Carolina, to your point, I understand the South Carolina argument right now. They're one of the better teams in the country, but you can't look at two teams in front of you that you lost head up to and say that you need to jump them. That's how I feel. So it was an interesting night for sure, and I think you got a really good look at probably what we'll be looking at on Sunday.
Well, I asked Tiff, where do you want me to start? Who do you want me to start with?
All right.
Because, I mean, we can start everywhere, I think.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, then let's take South Carolina.
Okay.
Can you make a case for them to be in?
Sure. They're the hottest team in the country. They got wins over Clemson, who could be in the playoff, and Texas A&M. The A&M win at the time looked huge. They were a one-loss team. They were rolling, and they got boat raced. They beat them by 24.
Yes.
I would make the argument, too, and I said this yesterday. I would make the argument that Lenora Sellers being hurt in the middle of that LSU game, I think that's their number one argument. Basically, okay, you can say we've got 3 losses. One of those losses probably shouldn't happen, and we know the committee has taken injuries into effect.
They didn't last year with Florida State, if you remember.
No, but they did. I mean,
but they didn't get it.
They didn't get in because
that's
of
what I'm saying.
Oh, that's what. Okay,
yeah, that's
I thought you were saying actually making the case for people to get in despite injury.
No.
Okay.
I'm saying that their argument could be, hey, we had an injured quarterback against LSU in the middle of the game, and that was a game they were winning at a certain point, and they weren't able to get it done. So, when you take that into consideration, there's been times in the past where they've gotten the benefit of the doubt because of quarterbacks.
Was he hurt against Ole Miss?
No.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm not being a jerk. I'm not being a jerk.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I am too. Was he hurt against Alabama?
No.
Yeah.
And he played really well, actually.
He did, but you still lost. So that's why I can't put you over either one of those teams. I mean, I'm sorry, but we still have to live in a world where head-to-heads matter.
I know, but can you at least follow me along the lines of if they had beat LSU, this wouldn't even be a conversation?
Oh, if they beat LSU, they're in.
That's my point. Even with the head-to-head losses, it wouldn't be a conversation.
And the reality of the situation of why you lost LSU really didn't have anything to do with Sellers. It had to do with a controversial call.
It was a bad call.
Where, you know, and it sucks because this is not how the conversation is not supposed to work. But your season comes down to a boneheaded play where if you just don't do something silly, this penalty probably doesn't come out, right? That's it. I mean, now you go to Georgia.
Shoved a quarterback on interception.
It was unnecessary.
Okay.
Whether it was a justified call or not, it's one of those things where you just don't do it. It's boneheaded. It's a disciplined play, and that I don't want to see that cost you because it shouldn't have. Right? It shouldn't come down to one play. It's a multitude of plays. The reality is, you can say that's it, but if you don't, you beat Ole Miss or Alabama. And maybe if you don't get blown out by Ole Miss, you're ahead of them. You still had chances to win. And I like what Pat Forty told us yesterday, that the entire season matters, not the last six or seven games. And that's why Georgia's in. That's why Bama right now is sitting there. That's why Ohio State didn't fall more, honestly.
And the thing I will say, there's good and bad. I think if you're an Alabama guy looking at it, there's good and bad. I think you've been bad on the road, but you've been good against pro style quarterbacks, and that's really the caveat I think Bama fans are looking at. Why in you guys' opinion does Miami not have a better argument?
I'm fine with. I was going to actually bring up Miami, and I'm fine. They just lost to Syracuse, and I'm not, no disrespect to Syracuse, but sure. I'm fine with them being out the mix, right? At least. Right now, they're at 12. So
yeah, they can't move.
They can't move.
They're done.
Yeah, and a Big 12 champion will jump them.
Right.
Because both of those were beneath them. Because
they've had two bad losses. I mean, and again, Georgia Tech is a good football program, but they've had two losses to unranked teams now.
Yeah.
So,
couple their two losses, to your point, Tiff, with two unranked teams, with having to, the way they had to win, you know, 38-34 at home, 39-38 comeback fashion against Cal on the road, 52-45 Louisville. You never looked overly dominant other than against Florida, first week of the season, and then really bad teams like Ball State and Florida A&M. You never looked dominant at any point during the season overly, and you had a weaker schedule, and it doesn't matter the conference you play in. It was about the strength of schedule, and it wasn't there. And they're not going to reward, you know, mediocre play against bad teams.
There's a lot to discuss when it comes to the college football playoff rankings. I'm going to go ahead and just throw this out there, put it on your radar. 8 o'clock is the wake-up call. You want to make your case for your team? Give us a shout then. But up next, the Falcons. What do they need to do to prepare for this Vikings defense as they try to get going in their game on Sunday? We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Back here on the Morning Shift with Falcons. They are getting set to face the Vikings. And the question is, how will the Vikings defense try to attack this Falcons offense that, you know, we had a lot of turnovers last week?
Yeah, I think you look at their defense, they're really good. They're the best team in the league against the run. They're giving up under 4 yards a clip, under 100, I mean, under 90. They're 81 yards is what they're giving up. And, you know, when we were looking, we'll get to the passing game part of it, right? But when we just start with the run game, Mike, when we were looking at some of their stuff on film, they crowd the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, they do. They do a nice job. And really, I think that affects – honestly, I think it affects the pass game more than it does the run game. But you're right. They did multiple looks up front kind of keep the offensive line guessing. And I think the way they go about it is they disguise it really well. I mean, we saw one earlier, the eight guys in the line of scrimmage. It's against 11 personnel. I think they're playing the Bears. And they drop into like cover two. I mean, from the line of scrimmage, two safeties dropping back into covering their deep quarters or whatever they're at. So they do such a nice job with Brian Flores of really disguising what they're trying to get accomplished and making the other offense kind of guess where they're going. And this is one of those games, man, where if we were better at screens, I'd be like, heavy screen week. It's just not what we do very well.
And this Vikings team is on a 5-game winning streak, and that came on the heels of back-to-back losses that they've been on so far this season. The Falcons, against teams with winning records, when they're above 500, they are 1-5. All other teams, they are 5-1 this season.
Yeah, that's not a good stat. That's not what I want to hear.
That's not what you
want
to hear.
It's
here to deliver the bad news. No, I'm just kidding.
But I'm going to be positive for a second because I said I was going to get to the other side of it. I think, though, that this defense might set up well for Kirk Cousins, because one of the things that I feel like he's done well this year is when teams are willing to come at him and show these weird – like Tampa Bay before we played Tampa Bay in week, was it 5 – what were we sitting here talking about? Hey, Todd Bowles has been blitz happy. Todd Bowles is doing a good job of disguising where his blitzes are coming from.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that Kirk Cousins, just take last week, throw it away, let's just talk about him as a whole. One thing I feel like he does really well at is when you come at him and you try to use these multiple looks, he's able to process, get the ball quickly. Apparently, the thing that Kirk Cousins isn't good at is when you can get 4 and drop and move guys around. And that's what really has given him trouble this, in his career and especially this season.
I just think the irony is not lost on me that we sat here and talked last week about play-action passes, and he wasn't good. And I think the reason you're not good on play-action passes, the first interception he throws on a play-action pass, and one of the reasons why is because you're not trusting what your eyes are. You're not reading the defense very well. And we can go through each of the 4 last week, and I know it's been done, of saying, hey, this is the reason this was. There was a miscommunication on this one. Well, the scary part of that is that's what Brian Flores' defense is good at, is getting you to miscommunicate, showing you different looks, showing you a look up front, a blitz look, and then bailing, or showing you a non-blitz look and then coming and then doing different things, double A-gap defensive tackles and just different. They're just different all across the line of scrimmage and all the way back into the third level. So if we had not had last week happen, I'd be like, go ahead, Kirk, dice them up. Dice them up. Read who's coming. You're very cerebral. You can kind of look out and say, well, Harrison Smith blitzes at this percentage and Jonathan Bullard drops at this percentage or whatever. And after last week, I find myself really scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of being able to look at this and think there's good situations. And I have to get rid of that mindset, because that's what I'm hoping Kirk is able to do.
Well, it's going to be tough, too. Byron Murphy is lurking out there, Vikings corner. He is tied for 3rd in the NFL with 5 interceptions this season. Of course, Kirk Cousins coming off a 4-interception performance last week. As far as the rest of this Vikings defense, well, Coach Raheem Morris, he thinks highly of the group.
They're playing at a Pro Bowl level, particularly their rush-ins and particularly Harrison. Gilmore's out there still playing corner at a high level. They still got Harrison Smith playing at a high level. The green dot at the middle linebacker position, I believe, is playing at as high a level as anybody. And B-Flow, he has a way and he has a system. It's devised with smart football players, being able to go out there and have total understanding. Van Ginkel seems like he makes a play every single week on SportsCenter. So those guys play very well together, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they do a nice job. He always has.
B-Flow.
Well, they to
Brian Flores, for those of you out there.
Tiff mentioned Byron Murphy in his 5 interceptions. I think you said they lead the league as a defense with 18 interceptions, coming off a 4 interception game, and you're last in the league with 13. That's not the good news you want to hear. Is there any way we can get Byron Murphy off the field and Fabian Moreau on the field? Because Fabian Moreau played here, and I think it was 21, and not so great. Maybe it was 22, but he played here a few years ago, and there was a lot that was left to be desired with his play on the field. He was a walking defensive holding call, but all of that said, Kirk Cousins needs to take a deep breath and trust himself. He said, "Not trusting your eyes." He needs to trust himself and what he sees and what he reads. I think a lot of times quarterbacks, And I don't know. I want to ask Arch about this, but when we say they confuse me, did they confuse you or did you confuse yourself? Because you watch film all day, you break it down, you know what you're seeing, and are you not? If you said you're not trusting in what he saw initially, is that more of an issue than not? I mean, because I know that he's a cerebral guy. He remembers what he sees. He trusts. Just trust what you're seeing, right?
I think that if there's one moving part or two moving parts, I think that's a valid point. But I think when you have to look at coverages as a quarterback, you have to take so many things into account. And what I mean is, like, just put yourselves in a quarterback's shoes. One of the things you're looking at, you're reading safeties, right? If this guy never makes it to the middle of the field, if this safety on the left never makes it between the hashes, then I cannot try to throw the deep out or the fade ball, right? Because he's going to be able to cover that much territory. And maybe that's what your read is on a certain route concept. But maybe your second read relies on this. If the safety doesn't do that, there should be some kind of in route or some kind of bench or something underneath, some kind of mesh point. Well, maybe underneath they've gone from man coverage to zone coverage or a pattern match or something like that. So now all of a sudden what you were trusting on the first read, you can't trust on the second read. And after that, your clock is ticking, right? Now all of a sudden it's getting down. Now you're on your third read trying to decide where the coverage is. And you still aren't sure what you're looking at. And I think that's one of the more difficult things in terms of going up against the Flores defense. They do all of it, man. They do all of it. So it's there's just so many different levels to it for Kirk Cousins. And you know that, mentally he's going to be as prepared as anybody. It doesn't mean he's going to trust his eyes.
So is this defenses now seeing the tape and trying to do something differently? Or is it something, again, on Kirk, like you guys mentioned, not trusting himself? If you look at the first 9 games, he is 17-7. That's the touchdown to interception ratio. The last 3 games, 0-6.
Yeah, and I think it's not just I was listening to Andy and Randy yesterday, Tiff, and this is a direct answer to your question, is I don't think it's just him. Randy did a good job of breaking down the interception, which was the pick 6 between where Kirk throws the bench route essentially to Darnell Mooney. And Randy was like, look, Kirk read zone, which it was, and Darnell Mooney ran man. And on that man route, you run to that sideline, right? And what Kirk was expecting Darnell to do was to sit down in that zone there, and then the ball hits him. I'm not blaming Darnell, and I'm not blaming Kirk, because I don't know. I don't know what their communication is, but that is called a miscommunication, right? And so, you're not,
you can't put it all on,
either one.
Yes.
Because they're seeing two different things, and who saw it right and who saw it wrong is kind of the question. So that's not something you want to see, though, coming off the bye week.
Lord, no. And the thing is, sometimes, guys, I know this is hard for some people listening and to stomach. Sometimes defense coordinators get you. Sometimes they've gone and looked at their own film and say, hey, when we show pressure, when we show double A gap mugs with the linebackers, right, the quarterback thinks we're going cover 0 and he thinks we're in man coverage, right? And it's honestly could have been what happened. And then all of a sudden you say, hey, what we'll do is we'll come up with double A gap mugs this week against Kirk. He's going to be so well studied, he's going to think we're in man coverage, and we'll just drop in a zone. We'll just run the picket fence zone right behind him. We'll make sure we get in all those alleys. Right, and there's a lot of self scouting going on the defensive side of things as well that is designed specifically to confuse a guy like Kirk Cousins, and so it is. There's a little bit of everything that goes on. The point I wanted to come back to though is that happens once in a game, and you're like, man, hey, he got me on that one. Happens twice, you're like, man, he really got us on those, you know. When you start to get to 4, you're like, man, he really ain't trusting what he's seeing, or they have completely revamped the looks that they are giving him. So,
this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. When we come back, the latest college football rankings have dropped. Does Georgia deserve to be at 5? We'll discuss when we return here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time for some college football. And if you didn't know, or maybe you forgot, today is National Signing Day. It's getting underway. And
the ESP.
The
the early signing period.
Yes.
Oh, man.
What? Yeah, you like that? You know what's the question? And not
so weird.
I know
now.
I just jumped in, but the question I have is doesn't this seem like? And I would love to talk to like a current high school coach, and I should probably reach out to some of my buddies that do coach high school still. But doesn't it seem like there's a perfect storm of events happening right now that really are against high school players at this point? Because you're having roster sizes are going to be limited. You're really cutting at least 30 players off of each team moving into next year. Right, we've heard from a number of high school coaches, college coaches talking about it. Then you add in the fact that there's some guys still have a COVID year. Like next year, I think should be the last year of COVID years. And when you look at all the kickbacks on down, it just seems like high school players right now this year at a complete disadvantage in terms of getting where they want to go, unless they're an elite talent.
And then not just that, in terms of even media stuff, like the college football playoff rankings dropped last night,
right.
So that's dominating a ton of the discussion.
Portal announcements
today.
Yeah, it's just woo, man. It's crazy out there right now.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel the same as it used to. I mean, I'm sitting here on Own Three's website. I know Rusty Manziel does a lot of work with and stuff. And one of the metrics they have is, you know, they go across. It's 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, all the players, and then your rankings. And then it has this. I noticed this dollar amount, and I go, "Why? What does $125K mean next to Florida's name?"
Oh, wow!
And you know what it means? It's their average NIL amount of the class. I'm assuming
average projected value.
Average
or
it
average
just says,
what they are being paid.
It says average NIL.
Oof.
So I was like, "That's new. I've never noticed that before." And then I went over to. The 247 Sports, theirs doesn't have that. So Own Three has another caveat for ranking these kids. Alabama's is 253, by the way. Georgia's is 169. It's just crazy. Ohio State's is at 211. It's just another thing that you add in there. And obviously Michigan's is inflated because of Bryce Underwood's money.
Well,
but
Who do you got? Because I'm having trouble pulling up the 247 one. Who was the top five teams in terms of rankings?
I've got it up here right now. That's what I was going to get to. So they ranked as Georgia at 1, Alabama 2, Ohio State 3, Texas 4, and Auburn at 5. So and according to this write-up by Anna Adams, Georgia's atop the rankings and looking to try to finish that battle as being.
What are you? Are you on 247?
I'm on CBS Sports, but
okay.
it takes you to 247. Yeah.
Right.
Her that's exactly she. Yeah, that's. But you know what's funny is you get Own Three, you flip Alabama and Georgia, right? And because Alabama's 1 and Georgia's 2.
Yeah.
But then you flip Ohio State and Texas because Ohio State's 3 and the 1 Tiffany read. They have Texas and Own Three. So that's how everybody ranks them differently, you know, like these
sites. That's what they call their composite team recruiting ranking.
Yeah. It's just funny. One thing I'll say is that I know we got to talk about the playoff. Florida was a team that was like 60-something in August.
Yeah.
They're now to 11 in most. And 247, they're 11. On through, they're 11. There's one, I think, that they're at I think the Rivals has them at 10. They have made a huge jump, and there's rumors that they might flip Florida State interior offensive lineman, who's a 5-star, Solomon Thomas.
Well, that was going to be my next question, and that's what I'll finish on. How much are you, in terms of what you used to worry about signing day, how much are you still really worried about it? Because I have trouble with it. To me, I think Michigan flipped a Bama guy like last week or the week before, and he's a good player. And I'm like, okay, does that mean like in a year he won't come to Alabama? Does that mean that the money, that he didn't just like the coaching staff? Does that mean that the money's better? It's just so much harder to know about any of this stuff and what their career will end up being because you don't know where they're going to be in 6 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just these coaches, man, they've got their work cut out. I don't blame Gus Malzahn.
That's
I'll just say that.
Good question. I don't blame him either. And then also with Andrew Luck coming back to be the GM of Stanford. So the first time I really heard about GMs in college football, it was actually doing the Minnesota Wisconsin game. And I was talking to the SID, getting ready for post game stuff, and he mentioned going to check on something with their GM, and my head went, wait, what?
That's when Bama brought Kalen DeBoer, they brought his GM with him. It was like a big deal.
So it's more of a, I guess, thing now, but I mean, it's something you're going to have to deal with as you navigate this landscape of NIL and money and talent.
It's so weird. Tough. I'll say this real quick, and then I know we'll get on to the playoff. This is my last thing. I think it still matters, and here's why. Because your core comes from the players you sign out of high school. You take through the portal, and you kind of you highlight things, right? Like, hey, we need this, and we got a young core of DBs coming in, but we really need a stud cornerback. Can we go buy one? That's essentially how they're looking at it now. Can we go buy one? Yeah. Can we go get one in free agency?
Open market.
And that's through the portal. And I think that's where
GMs come in.
Really, yeah, to have the GM, because you got to handle the money. You got all of that stuff. And so I think if you're still building a core, notice that the top teams, the teams are in the college football playoff, Alabama, Texas, Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, they're all high up there.
On to the rankings now that came out last night. We have Oregon at 1 at 12-0, still perfect on the season. Texas, 11-1. Penn State, 11-1. Notre Dame, also 11-1. Georgia is at 10-2, and that's the same for Ohio State and Tennessee, who are 6-7. SMU, Indiana, Boise State round out the top 10. They are all 11-1, with Alabama at 11 at 9-3, and Miami at 12 at 10-2.
There's really only one, or well, there's two questions that come to mind in this. First of all, can an SMU loss put them below Alabama? I don't know. I personally wouldn't, and that's coming from an Alabama guy, because look, it just is what it is. I also wonder if you're a Georgia fan, and we talked about this yesterday a little bit, if Georgia were to lose this weekend, and I personally don't think they will, but if they were to lose this weekend, would they fall out of hosting a playoff game and fall out of that spot? You look at the projected host teams right now as they lay, which they can't stay that way, but Notre Dame, Ohio State, Penn State, and Georgia, you want to talk about four good places to go see a freaking football game on December 20th. My goodness.
I'll say this, unless Georgia gets just absolutely just taken to the woodshed, which I don't believe, they're gonna be in the college football playoff, and they're going to be hosting a game. You know, this is the beauty of the system, in that a two-loss with the 12 teams, a two-loss Georgia and a two-loss Penn State, let's just say that they both play phenomenal championship games, right? They look like they're teams that can play and win a national title, and they're going to be in. SMU, if SMU loses, if how they lose will mean everything to where they're to if they're in or Alabama's in. And it's funny because Florida State literally sued the ACC because they said they were devaluing the league by bringing in an SMU who also, remember, is not making a dime.
No, they're not.
They deferred money for years they're like, hey, we just want to be here. And they have a chance to go not only win the conference, but be the only college football playoff team in it
Florida
from the
State's
ACC.
Not even on this.
No,
on
2-10, no, baby. How do you like those apples?
Do you like Georgia at 5, though, given that, okay, Ohio State's right behind them, and Ohio State's two losses, the most recent one coming to a Michigan team that is not the same Michigan that we have seen in past years?
I just don't think it – I don't know. Like, it's kind of like signing day for me. I don't think it really matters. It doesn't. I mean, like, we can sit there and go back and forth. You know, Notre Dame is at 4. They're not going to stay at 4. Can't stay at 4, right? I mean, it's
They'll be 5.
Yeah, and everything kind of slides around. And Georgia just needs to focus on Georgia and go out and deal with business. And, you know, and to your point, but one of the reasons, even if SMU were to lose this weekend, that I, as a Bama guy, would want to give SMU the nod over Alabama is because I feel like that everything in this entire deal has gone against them, and they deserve a shot, man. They've played well.
Well, remember this. The projection, the actual projection, which is just based on favorites winning or the higher seeds winning, would have Ohio State dropping to 8 because of the way it would move, because Notre Dame would move down to 6, and Penn State would move to 5. And then Ohio State would be 8, hosting Tennessee. Georgia would be at home hosting Indiana. Personally, I think Georgia gets the better part of that. Now, they would have to end up playing Texas again based on that if they won, so that you can say that that's not a third time. I don't know how the committee would look at that, maybe move that around. But I think Georgia playing Indiana at home in the first round would be a better matchup for them than Tennessee again.
An opportunistic defense against an offense that's been turnover prone in the last few games How can the Falcons get back on track when they get set to face the Vikings? That's up next here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are in.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our 7 o'clock hour of the Morning Shift is brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. All right, up next for the Falcons is the Vikings, who have won 5 games straight. Atlanta trying to get off a 3-game slide. That includes coming out of the bye week, having lost the previous two, and then dropping their game this past Sunday to the Los Angeles Chargers. So turnovers were an issue in that game. And not putting it all on Kirk Cousins. I know we discussed some, maybe there was miscommunication. There could be things like that. But he had 4 for the day. And now you're going up against this Vikings defense. That, Bo, did you say, where are they ranked with turnovers in the league?
Well, their turnover margin, they're tied for 2nd. But they are the, they're ranked 1st in interceptions with 18.
And then their guy on their team, Byron Murphy, guy on their team, their corner. Couldn't find the
words. Some dude.
Some jag. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Is tied for 3rd in the league with 5 interceptions.
Yeah. That's listen. I keep going back through these rankings, and obviously watched a little bit of film this morning and a little bit yesterday, and I keep going back through all this and kind of just kind of imagining to myself what I would want to run against what Brian Flores and the Vikings do. And the answer to me is screen games and draws. And it's just two things we don't do. We don't really run draws. We run draw action. We don't really use it with pass sets. I think they've done it a couple times the last couple weeks. And we don't run screens very well. We tried 10 times against Denver and could not successfully get a screen to go for more than 5 yards. I thought, honestly, that we'd see that more coming off the bye week. But it seems like they almost abandon it, you know, altogether in terms of the screen game. So I don't know. It's one of those things where a lot of guys walk up to the line of scrimmage, but also drop into coverage, especially when they're safeties and they have to drop deep. One of the best things you can do is show draw, right? So it looks like you're passing the ball. The safety turns around, turns his head, tries to get to the deep third, and you hand the ball off the running back, and he can kind of follow the safety up. But we don't do that much. We are a straight up team that runs wide zone and passes from the pocket.
Is this one of those games, though? Let's just eliminate screen because we don't run it very well. We've talked about that, and they're going to be with. It feels like their defense has a lot of moving parts, whether guys are coming or guys are dropping into spaces. Is this one of those games where it's the ultimate take what the defense gives you and just dink and dunk them and take Bijan out there and let Bijan just, you know, get a spoon and start feeding
For sure. It went straight Zeke Elliott over there.
Well, that's actually Sean Weatherspoon did that first.
Well, yeah, that's because his name was Spoon.
I know, but he did it first. He used to take it out of his pants, like the imaginary spoon.
I remember seeing guys do that in college.
Okay.
Spoon started it. I'm sorry.
I mean, listen, I love Spoon. I hope he started. I think that it's take what the defense gives you, but the problem with what you're saying, and you guys know this as well as I do, and you just heard Raheem refer to him as B-Flo. You have to diagnose what they're giving you. You're not sure. He does such a good job. You're not sure what the defense is giving you. When there's eight guys walking the line of scrimmage, who's coming, who's not coming, right? Are there two coming off the right? Is there one coming off each side? Are there two coming up the middle? And if Bijan is actually the guy that has to deal with that, or who you're trying to get the ball out to, which way is he going? Is he in blitz pickup? Is he going to the right side? So, yeah, I definitely think take what the defense gives you. But you got to decide very, very quickly what the defense is giving you, and that's where a guy like Jonathan Grenard comes in and has 10 sacks. You also have to worry about that going up against Caleb McGarry and Jake Matthews all day.
Thank you, because it's something that was on my mind. One of y'all was talking about their defense, and I started looking, and Jonathan Grenard, oh, yeah, you're right, Mikey does have 10 sacks. Hmm. Andrew Van Ginkle, oh, he has 9? They have 19 sacks coming off their edge, and we have 15 off a 5-sack game.
Hey, no, don't you dare knock us down in the sack category, and I'm feeling good about it.
But, I mean, it's just one of those things. But you look, and those guys combined, they have almost 30 tackles for loss. They're playing at a high level off their edge.
They are, and that makes your quarterback probably a little bit uneasy knowing this. Kirk Cousins, he talked about his mindset going into this matchup with Dave Archer.
Yeah, pro football, you have to, good or bad, you have to, you know, walk away and be able to get back on the horse and get ready the next week and treat them all as, you know, standalone events. And certainly we got a challenging opponent and a challenging place up ahead. And I got to dig deep and play our best football, in the last 5 games.
Now, this is one of those times where you guys, you've been in those rooms with guys, you've talked to guys, Tiff, and it's where I'm popping because I'm, just the radio guy that travels with the team. When you come from another team and then you play them and take it to the quarterback position, he knows Brian Flores. He knows some of the things. He's seen some of the things they want to do in defense. Like, how much is that of a factor for Kirk? And then how much is it a factor for Flores where he's trying to give him something that won't be comfortable seeing or has seen before?
I want to answer your question, but my brain keeps going to the fact that I feel like Kirk Cousins might need my brain. Stay with me here. I keep forgetting that he's been in Atlanta, right? And I keep forgetting that he even played there, which is wild to think. But that's what I feel like. You almost have to go into it with that mentality of acknowledging, hey, I was here, and then taking advantage of some of the stuff that you pointed out, which is knowing what they might do, some of it defensively, because you are accustomed to having, gone up against that defense a bit in practice.
Yeah, and Tiff, to your point, this is a team that last year started 4 quarterbacks and has a completely new quarterback room this year other than Nick Mullins and just signed Daniel Jones and drafted J.J. McCarthy and signed Sam Darnold.
Because he had the Achilles, so that's right. My brain is so far removed.
Where are we at now? 7 quarterbacks in the last 2 years that have started NFL games that have been on the in the meeting room for the Vikings at this point. So yeah, I don't know. You can be forgiven for that.
I'm like, what?
It just, but I mean, I'm sure Kirk hasn't, and I think it is going to be. Look, we know how much his teammates here in Atlanta love him, right? We heard from Drake London. Talking about the confidence that he has in Kirk Cousins. I can't remember the word he used, but it was like endless, just an endless amount of confidence. You know, he's the leader. He's the guy that can get it done. We know how hard he works. I can only imagine, having spent the number of years he did in Minnesota, that the guys up there feel the same way about him. Like a Harrison Smith or some of these other players have to feel exactly the same way about Kirk. So whether or not it's like the actual fan base or the stadium, I would have to think just the friends he probably has up in that locker room, that's what's going to make this more of an emotional experience for him.
Yeah, you think about Saquon Barkley, I guess is the most recent guy to face his opposing team when the Eagles faced the Giants, and how he talked about it at the end of the game. And I think most of it was reserved for when the game was over, of going to go up to guys, hugs, handshakes, people probably saying a lot of heartfelt words to him about his career there. And I imagine it would probably be the same case for Kirk Cousins.
Who was it that did that New Orleans 2-3 weeks ago?
Oh, it was Sean Payton against his former team.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah. That wasn't what I was thinking about. Okay. But Jameis. It was Jameis Winston.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jameis goes back and plays against the guys in New Orleans and is like, you know, dapping up every single one of them after the game. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be some emotion on the line, but I'm sure he will compete nonetheless. And I think we all feel.
Video? They don't really do that in football, do they? That's like an NBA thing, right?
Yeah, I don't know that he spent enough time there for a video. Right?
I mean, what was it? Jameis? Were they going to have him?
No, talk about Kirk.
Oh, Kirk spent enough time to be there. I mean,
I think so.
Yeah, I think as a starter, he's a face of the franchise for, 5 years? I just think that he might have a little bit
of... good 5 years with him, yeah.
Yeah, I just think there might be some knowledge of what Flores wants to do. I think Flores was there at least 1 year, maybe two. With him, I kind of forget the timeline because I know Flores spent a year in Pittsburgh. But
we saw that with Zimmer when he faced off with Zimmer.
Yeah, and he even said, hey, Zimmer does a good job of disguising stuff, but it didn't faze me. And Dallas is in a different position. They're not playing. Look, we are in a bad place. We've lost three in a row. Kirk has struggled with 6 picks over his last 3 games. Tiff read the stat earlier. He had 17-7. And then now it's 17-13, right? I think that was what you had.
It was 17-7. Yeah, touchdown interception ratio through the first 9 games. And then the last 3, it's 0-6.
Vikings have won 5 straight. Sam Darnold struggled in a couple, but has started to play better again. They're right for the picking. I said this the other week and I was dead wrong, but I'm going to do it again. Winning streaks in the NFL.
Can we please say that?
They don't last. Like, they're not as prevalent as, like, in, you know, baseball or whatever. Some of these winning streaks in the NFL, teams just don't go on 5, 6, 7, 8. I know Philly's on one themselves right now. I think they're on an 8-game winning streak. And you look at what the Bills and the Chiefs have been, they're both, 10-2 and 11-1. But it's just hard to win a lot of games in a row. And it's also, I think it might be just as hard to lose 4 games in a row. When you have talent like this. So put everything behind you, all that crap behind you, and whatever, Kirk, there's been questions about his velocity and everything last week. I didn't see him. I feel like it was times he didn't step into throws that hurt it. I think that's one of the reasons why he short-armed that ball to Mooney early in the game.
I knew there was a problem when that happened.
So just be confident. Step in. And go out there and don't overthink what they're doing. And just, I think Kirk's a smart enough quarterback and a cerebral enough player, football IQ, to figure out what they're giving you and take it and trust your eyes originally. Don't overthink things.
Well, and I think the scary part for Falcons fans is as they look at it right now, this defense for them is so well rounded. You just mentioned the fact that, you know, number one team in the league, what is it, in rushing yards per game? They're not that great against the pass, but they can rush the edge. And so that's what you start. Hey, if you can't run the ball, then all of a sudden, you know, Grenard's pinning his ears back. That's where things, I think, get scary. But I'm with you. Like, they were expected to compete the last 3 weeks. They're expected to lose this week.
Receivers need to win. You got to help Kirk, too. You got to win, and you got to win quickly against a defense like this. Even the guy that wears a single digit at the tight end spot.
We are in the thick of it. This is NFL week 14 that we are in. More on the Vikings and Falcons as we push on through the show. We also will give you the latest NFL headlines. And how about those college football playoff rankings? Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the Morning Shift, before we go in the huddle to give you the latest NFL headlines, let's do some more college football here with Georgia coming in at 5 in the latest college football playoff rankings. Oregon's at 1, Texas 2, Penn State 3, Notre Dame 4, Georgia 5, Ohio State 6, 7 Tennessee, 8 SMU, 9 Indiana, 10 Boise State, 11 Alabama, 12 Miami.
Tiff, I wanted to ask you this too. Boise State and UNLV playing, I can't remember if that's what day that game is. But you've seen those two teams match up. Any chance that UNLV could be able to knock Boise out of that spot? Because I know they're perched as the fourth team.
If they repeat what they did when it came to stopping the run, I cannot remember what week it was that I had that matchup.
It
was probably three weeks ago, four.
No, it's been longer.
It's like a month now, maybe. But they were able to pretty much slow down Ashton Gentry in that ground game early on in the game. And it was somewhat different, where we didn't see him necessarily break off those big runs until late. Again, he did deal with an arm injury later on in the game. But those big break-off runs that we've seen, the explosive plays that you're used to seeing from him,
yeah,
there weren't a ton of those initially to start that game. So,
man, what a new lease on life that place has had under Barry Odom at UNLV. I mean, they went, I want to say like a couple of years ago, they went to a bowl game for the first time in like 25 years or something. Something yeah. insane.
I enjoyed our conversation with Barry Odom. I enjoyed getting to cover them and just the passion that the kids had in playing for him and the passion, obviously, he has in coaching those group of guys.
They play Friday at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I thought maybe they did.
Army and Tulane plays as well. I mean, there's no way that Army destroys Tulane and UNLV barely beats Boise State and Army would jump UNLV, right? There's no way. There's no way. Because UNLV is 20th in the college football playoff, and Army is at 24.
What's UNLV's best win? I mean, that's what that
well, it would be Boise
point.
State.
Well, that's
if
true
they
at
win,
that point, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's tough. That's a really good question.
And I don't think, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, look how smart I am. But I went and checked the schedule because you would ask. And they're both playing Friday night. And I'm like, there's no way. Because that UNL, because right now, the college football playoff is projection would be Boise State being one of the top five or top four, right. And they would have a bye. And so UNLV's win would carry a lot more weight than Army win over Tulane.
Tulane got the dog walked on them by Memphis
yeah.
last week.
So I don't think that would happen. There's no way that would happen. Just
disregard.
Yeah, there's just no way. There's just no. I mean, of course, we don't know with the committee, but
never know. You never know.
And if that happened, and Iowa State, the winner of Iowa State, Arizona State would probably be one of the byes at this point.
Yeah.
Would you have expected Ohio State to fall further after losing to Michigan?
Is bad as
six.
As bad as they looked offensively at home against a team that literally can't throw the ball vertically, it would not have surprised me if, yeah, they fell behind Tennessee.
Okay, because I was going to say right now, Tennessee is behind them at 7, and they're also 10-2. Continue.
And it essentially pretty much locks Ohio State into a home game.
It really did. And I'm sitting here looking at this list thinking, did it benefit Ohio State to not play this weekend? I think that's the reason you come up with, although I don't know all the tiebreakers between them. And what would have been Penn State with another loss? I don't know.
It's championship weekend.
I think it would be just as cool to watch a college football playoff game at Neyland Stadium as it would be the Horseshoe.
That's what I was trying to say earlier, man. The thought of some of these home games that you could possibly get is crazy. Like you because you're not getting the conference champions or you're not getting the teams that are barely in. These the ones in the middle are like the blue blood teams that are just very good but not getting the automatic bids. You know, so it's. I have already had people ask me what I thought a Bama versus Notre Dame ticket would go for in South Bend, and I'm like, I have no clue.
Boy.
I don't even want to know.
Think about that. Just
your firstborn child. All
don't
right.
Know.
Yeah.
Well, it's time now to go in the huddle. Well, the NFL has announced the 3-game suspension for Houston Texans linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair for repeated violation of rules intended to protect the health and safety of players and promote sportsmanship. This stems from that hit that he laid on Jacksonville Jags quarterback Trevor Lawrence on Sunday. And so this came with a very stern statement from NFL Vice President of Football Operations John Runyan. He said, during your game against the Jacksonville Jags on December 1st, with 4:20 remaining in the second quarter, you were involved in a play that the league considers unacceptable and a serious violation of the playing rules. Video shows you striking the head, neck area of Jags quarterback Trevor Lawrence after he clearly goes down in a feet-first slide. So that statement, just that part right there says that from what they saw, Trevor Lawrence was already sliding down. He went on to say, you led with your forearm and helmet and delivered a forceful blow to the head neck area of your opponent when you had contact. So it was It goes on and on, but it actually, Runyon said, your lack of sportsmanship and respect for the game of football and all of those who play, coach, and enjoy watching it is troubling and does not reflect the core values of the NFL.
I agree with the suspension. I have a feeling it'll be knocked down to 2 games. I agree with the suspension. I'm fine with it. No issues with it. However,
I was trying to get to that part of the statement, but I kept reading.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. It's extremely rich coming from John Runyon, who was notorious for being one of the dirtiest players in the NFL when he played, including a video montage where he launches himself into a player who is standing away from a play and hits him helmet to helmet. It's very rich.
Can I just point out that it was a different game back then? It was a different game back then.
If
the rules were the rules then, you know, maybe you would feel differently about.
I feel that dirty is dirty. And when a player is not even near a play and you launch yourself into him helmet first, it's dirty. And no matter what year, it's just rich that John Runyon said that. That's the thing for me. But I agree with the. I think if the statement comes from anyone else, if Troy Vincent was still the one handing these down, I could say, okay. I get the language is fine and the suspension is fine.
To me, this is the entire issue I had yesterday. I came on here and I said, I know it's dirty play. It is dirty. There's just a lot of grandstanding going on around this dirty play. There's a lot of people that are like, oh my gosh, you know, my pearl clutchers. It's like, dude, he didn't come in flying with the crown of his helmet and, like, you know, throw a forearm shiver to a guy and throw him over the fence on the sideline. Like, it was dirty, yes, because it was a hair late and he went at the head and neck area. And let's just leave it at that. I don't need John Runyon being like, you let the fans down. Like, dude, get out of here. Get out of here.
As we bounce forward in the NFL, Jameis Winston, who we saw make unfortunate history in Monday Night Football with, the two pick sixes and then throwing over 450 yards. That's the first time that's ever happened to a quarterback in NFL history. I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on his comments at the podium, which was asking the Lord to deliver him from pick sixes.
I'll say this about Jameis. He stays true to himself, man. He ain't going to change for anybody. He's always been that kind of guy, and he continues to be that kind of guy. And he's had, whether you want to admit it or not, when all things are said and done, he's had a heck of an NFL career because he's that guy. And so if that's what he feels like. There's going to be an Aaron Rodgers documentary come out in, 2 weeks that is going to have him doing all kinds of seance kind of stuff. Like, do what you need to do, man. Whatever going to put you in the right mindset to be able to play quarterback in the NFL, then get her done.
It just makes me laugh. It's funny. I'm glad that I can laugh at Jameis these days.
So I'm glad you brought up Aaron Rodgers because he's indicated and said, you know, he hopes to be back next year with the Jets. But what does this mean then for that race? I shouldn't really call it a race, but it is a race for the number one overall pick for teams that are obviously not having great seasons right now, like the Jets.
Yeah, I think, what is it, Jacksonville in line for number one right now?
Well, I don't.
They call it the race for number one.
I mean, they just gave Trevor Lawrence a huge money deal in Jacksonville. I don't know what they're going to do with that. I would think the Jets are getting a quarterback. If there's a quarterback that they think is draftable,
you'd have to do it, right?
Yeah, with no matter what Aaron Rodgers is going to do, because even if you can somehow can't move him and you don't find a way to get out from underneath, you know, Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback next year, financially, then you still want to be set up for the future, right?
I agree with you because this day and age, if you want to build a team, you have to have a quarterback. When you're starting to build a team, you have to have a quarterback that's not costing you the max.
And just sitting in the room with Aaron Rodgers for a year, you know, watching him break down film with a quarterback's coach or an OC, that's got to be beneficiary. I mean, certainly helped Jordan Love after 4 years.
Mm. When we come back here, it's a Tiffany is in control version of
wow.
Mic'd Up. That's what this is?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we'll be right back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Before we start Which One Wednesday, let me remind you guys that Monday night, not Saturday, Monday night for the pregame for Monday Night Football, I will be at the Hiram Buffaloes. So if you want to come hang out, maybe have a Frosty, I don't know, come hang out with me up in Hiram. I know Bo's coming. You told me that you'd be there no matter what, so I appreciate you supporting it.
Yeah, you're going to pick me up. And I'm right with you. Yeah, but that's my hometown. I mean, that's Dallas is my hometown, but I used to frequent Hiram, so I'll ride with you.
Shout out to the people in Hiram, man.
I'm not.
It's going to be a party 6 to 8 o'clock Monday night. Don't forget to be there. Tiffany, take it away.
Let's get started now on Which One Wednesday. I just want to give you a heads up. Day-Day and Dylon, be ready eventually.
Uh-oh.
You'll see.
Uh-oh.
All right, first up for these two. Is what is more likely, which one is more likely to happen? The MLB now instills the golden at-bat rule, or Marcell Ozuna will lead the league in home runs next season. Just a reminder, MLB's Rob Manfred, he said on the Varsity podcast that there's been some talk of this golden at-bat rule at the owners' meetings, and basically it is giving an at-bat. You can kind of select from your, depth chart. It's not a depth chart.
Your roster.
of who you want to send up at bat. To, you know, it's a golden rule. It's kind of an exception thing.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's Marcell Ozuna leading the league in home runs because they're going to have the lineup back. He's been on a tear. He's going to continue it. Marcell Ozuna could have won Comeback Player of the Year last year, and not the 23, but the 22 season. He didn't. If Rob Manfred invokes this ridiculous, stupid, just Bush League rule, he should be the first Major League Baseball commissioner that is impeached. They should have an impeachment hearing to embarrass him in front of everyone because he is trash if he does that. I'm sorry.
Just to give you a clear definition real quick, it was proposed something at the owners' meetings. The concept is that a team could choose one at-bat in every game to use its best hitter regardless of where they are in the lineup.
It's Marcell Ozuna is the answer to this, and I don't know that Marcell Ozuna is going to lead any league in home runs. He could. Obviously, he's put together a good offensive year. It's a very sluggish start 2 years ago. But to Bo's point, and I have to agree with him on this, it's the worst idea in the history of sports. It's the way, you want to talk about embarrassing him by impeaching him? He embarrassed himself enough over the last 2 days. I have not seen one person that was like, man, what a great idea.
Chipper Jones
this is
tweeted out.
Universally frowned upon what they are trying to do to baseball with this rule. It's ridiculous.
When we impeach Manfred, we should put Chipper Jones as the new commissioner so he can fix all the things Manfred has screwed up.
We can only hope he'd take that job.
Up next, Georgia versus Texas SEC championship this weekend. It is championship weekend in college football. The winner decides who becomes the national champion or it won't happen, and why. So that's kind of my twisted version of a which one. So which will happen? The winner decides the national championship, or it won't, and why?
I think your question the, like, it's either SEC team or the field?
Well,
the SEC championship teams or the
field? Is it Texas? Like, if Georgia wins this thing, are they going to go on to be crowned the national champion?
Okay.
If Texas wins, are they going to go on to be crowned the national
champion? Fair enough.
I'll start. I am going to say no.
In my head, it made sense.
The reason why is I do think there's a chance Texas wins this weekend. I do. I think Georgia has proved that they have the better coaching staff, and probably the rosters are very close. Maybe Georgia has an edge. I don't know. It's tough when you have talented rosters. But I will say no only because both of these teams will still be in. And I think both of these teams will have still a really good shot because the loser will get a home playoff game and the winner will get a bye. I think that you can see a team like Georgia losing and playing another game at home and then rolling in a neutral field. And I think vice versa for Texas. I think Texas could do the same thing. I just think one of these two teams, though, has, to your point, Tiff, has probably, to me, my favorite to win the national championship.
I was going
to
say, if you're going to give me these two teams against the field, I'm taking these two teams. And I think it's been shown time and time again. Look, Clemson's playing in the ACC championship this weekend. Georgia beat the brakes off of Clemson to start the year. It just, you know, Michigan just beat Ohio State. Texas beat the brakes off of Michigan earlier this year. The timing of this game mixed with the fact that I think even the loser is going to host a playoff game on December 20th. I'm taking the winner of this game to win the national title. But even if they don't win this game, I think they still serve a very good shot at winning the national title. I just think both of these teams are head and shoulders above any other team.
So you say yes, then.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Good. I'm going to let Mike start first because I think you started the last few times because this – okay. So Cowboys make the playoffs because they still believe that they can. They are inspired by that win that they had over the Commanders last week. There's still a chance. Cowboys make the playoffs or Bo cries at least 10 times at the birth of his daughter.
Oh. What's this a mean question?
That's not mean.
This is a mean question.
That's not mean. Cowboys make the playoffs. Which will happen?
Oh, man, this one's tough. Bo's going to cry. I just don't know if it's going to be 10 times. Like, he's going to sob.
You don't think
absolutely
he's going to be sitting one day and then tears are just
going to... No, he's going to sob. I don't know that it'll be 10. So I would say that the more likely is that the Cowboys make the playoffs. And look, there's been a lot of good comments come out of Dallas, has there not? Like Dak's like, you know, I love, like Jerry Jones is saying, I wouldn't rule out an extension for Mike McCarthy. Like all these good reasons, all these good vibes coming to us. I don't think it's going to happen, but I also don't know if 10 times on the birth, I don't know that Bo can drum up enough tears for that. Although he will sob like an absolute
doesn't
baby
have to be immediate
at the side of his daughter.
After, you know, it doesn't be immediately after
just
birth, but
weekend.
I mean, just over the, you know.
Over the next few days.
Over the next days, yeah.
I've never been a real big crier. Just not. I'm not saying that I won't. I think Dallas has a better chance sitting at 5-7. I'm a weird dude emotionally. I don't know what to tell you. I am not a big
just
crier.
Not even emotionally, just weird.
You go back to Alabama.
Yeah, hey, yeah, is that what you want?
Yeah, but
I'd like that, wouldn't you?
I don't know. So I would say Dallas makes the playoffs. I will say we went for the anatomy scan yesterday, the sonogram thing, and like the woman was pointing out like, oh, that's a kidney, and I'm like, I see nothing. I just see a dot.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
A bowl of soup.
You two will not answer this next question.
Uh-oh.
This is for Day Day and Dylon.
Uh-oh.
And this is like the bonus, right? So if you guys, actually, we'll just make it Day Day. Dylan, you'll have to, you know, judge.
I got you. Okay.
So if Day Day wins, Day Day, you can select the winner. All right. Does Drake have a case? What is more likely to happen? As we do know, he was not happy with the Not Like Us diss track from Kendrick Lamar. So he alleges that Universal falsely inflated popularity of the song, and it was done in a court filing on Monday. Again, this was back at the end of November.
Yeah, you don't want me answering this question. Go ahead, Day-Day.
Day-Day, does he have a case? Which will happen? Will this case, will he win out? Will he not win?
Personally, no, he does not have a case because he himself has probably won out popularity, inflation on some of his songs. This is a light-skinned rapper move. And it's terrible.
Oh,
he just cannot take the butt whooping that he received.
No.
Probably the strongest opinion you've
this
ever heard from me on this show.
Away. This was a strong.
I wasn't even expecting that. Goodness.
Wow. You couldn't pay me to comment on what he just said.
All right, Dylan, weigh it objectively.
Although
he
I did
came
hear
Kendrick
Lamar is going to Toronto on Father's Day. That's what I heard.
He came for the haymaker. I forgot I was dealing with a Drake Drake fan.
I do agree with Dede in the fact that I don't really think Drake has a case. But I won't say it's for exactly the reasons Day Day said. I do think it's just because, you know, this is Drake trying to make a move
right.
He's kind of, you know, he's still a little hurt.
You
he's
agreed
hurt.
With him. Who do you want to award? I'm like mixing this all up. But who should the point go to for Day Day's argument? I'm asking you, Dylon, now.
Oh, you're asking me. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give it to.
Keep in mind, Bo hasn't said a word.
I'm not speaking. Right.
He's not touching. What's he
That's
dropped
right.
the light skin? These two guys are like, we want no parts of this.
I want nothing to do with that. That is completely out of my lane.
I'll just say this. There are things I'm not qualified to speak on.
Same. enough to know you don't know enough.
We're gonna give this point to Mike just because I also think Mike was the winner today.
Let's go. Even besides
the Drake question.
I don't know where I was going with all this, but hey, it was fun. Nice. So.
I actually think that might be one of the best questions ever asked.
Yeah, that was a great question.
Day's answer, which I refuse to comment on.
Woo! All right. Maybe you have some thoughts on what Day Day just dropping the sledgehammer on if you're light skinned out there, I am sorry for Day Day's comments, okay? Don't come for us. Come for him if you can do so in the wake-up call. Call to 404-726-09.
Or maybe you don't like Bama being in. Cry me a river.
Yes, well, make your case yet. For your team to be in the college football playoff ranking or for someone to be out. You can do that in the wake-up call. It's next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are in our 8 o'clock hour of the morning shift. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I'm just here to create chaos, which happened in
you did.
The edition of Mic'd Up and Which One Wednesday.
Did you guys notice that she went all Rob Manfred on us and was like, here's a golden at bat rule? She just threw it out there and was like, anybody can step up to the plate. Oh, Day-Day.
I didn't really even know the own rules to like what I was doing. I was just like, let's just throw this out here and see if it sticks.
He's getting a lot of fanfare on the socials right now.
Definitely got an answer
from
social.
I can also confirm that he said he got many text messages.
Day-Day did?
Yeah, he did.
He walked out. We need to go get him back.
He said he'll come back. He just got it. He went to go grab something off the printer, but he said he'll come back.
All right, he better. He's going to have to.
He's got an answer for what he said.
Convenient time to go to the printer.
Yeah, it really is.
He sat there during the whole commercial break. Then he went to the printer as the music comes on.
All right, I'm going to go straight to the lines. I don't know if this is going to be rap battle related, but Squid Billion in Dallas, Georgia. What's going on, Squid Billion?
Morning, everybody. Morning, Elder Squid.
Sir.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not qualified to comment on it, so I'll just talk about the outside you're getting. Two thoughts on that. First of all, everything looks worse in slow motion. I watched the hit in slow-mo, and I didn't realize that Trevor Lawrence was lounging on the ground for about 20 minutes, and Shaiir went to the sidelines to grab a sledgehammer to, you know, take a tee off a golf club. You know, that's what it looked like in slow motion, and I didn't see that in real time. Yeah. But now, in all seriousness, like, these guys are running straight at each other, and Shaiir's job is to put the guy on the ground. And if Lawrence had been a running back, hadn't given himself up, it's a hard hit, but a clean hit to the lower chest. And what is Shaiir supposed to do, especially when some quarterbacks do like the whole fake slide, like Josh Allen used to do? I mean, he's playing until the whistle. He's doing his job, and I get that. I feel bad for Lawrence. It's a hard hit, and it sucks. But I don't know. In real time, he can't do anything. To change the trajectory there.
Yeah,
love the show, guys. I'm a big fan of Tiffany taking over segments where she has no idea what she's doing.
Thank you.
I'll say this. I think he made some good points about that play. The thing that took it over the top and the thing that makes it extremely dirty is if he sees the player going down and he puts his arms out to wrap, right, like we've seen guys do, and maybe you make chest-to-head contact, with his chest hits Trevor Lawrence. If he's going to like he's wrapping up, instead, he's going with those forearms. And the forearm shiver along with his history is why the suspension come down. And I think that's part of the problem. The fight and stuff is just you're defending your guy.
I'm completely on the opposite side of this. Because what happens when you're acting like you're putting your arms out like he's going to bear hug him? When
tackle.
You wrap up and tackle, what do you lead with?
Well, you lead with
your shoulder.
But he led with his forearms.
Okay, well, I'd rather him lead with the forearms and his hands
his
than his shoulder.
Shiver.
If he puts the shoulder into Trevor Lawrence's head, it's going to be even worse.
He's dirty. It's dirty.
There's a lot of grandstanding going on in the studio right now from across this side of the table.
What are you talking about? I had his back in a little bit of it.
You said kick him out of the league forever.
No, I didn't. I never said that.
All right, we're going back
to
the lines.
You're making stuff up
now. We got Chief waiting on us. Good morning, Chief. I probably should have saved this for when Day-Day was back because he's still not back yet.
What's happening, Chief?
What's happening, Chief?
Good morning, All-American and Miss Blackman.
Good morning.
And, of course, my tribal chief, the fearless one.
Sir.
First, before I get to my thing with Dayline, I got something for him. Dayline, that was the greatest answer in the world. That was because you had to be brave to say that.
Can we go find Dayline? Garrett, I'm sorry. I'm like looking at you. Is he not back? He disappeared.
Yeah,
okay.
That's all right.
That was one of those answers when you stand up in a meeting, everybody wants to ask, you know, everybody thinking the same thing, but nobody wants to say anything. Right. That was great. Anyway.
That's exactly what that was.
Let me get into this with my tribal chief. Tribal chief, your co-host over there, the All-American, he's a big guy. And I'm about 6'3 and 250 pounds myself. And I'm going to tell you something. When that little girl is born, you're going to fall to your knees.
Hey.
As a matter of fact, you stick a fork and you're done. Because I'm telling you right now, you're done. It's a wrap. Tiffany, you know this. You're a girl. You have a father. Only difference is you have a sister that you have to share your dad with. So it's a little different.
She thinks she's
when you
have
that one daughter. Yeah. With that one daughter, though, oh, my God.
Yeah, he's done.
You're going to fall to your knees, Tribal Chief. She's going to take over the nation.
Hey,
I'm out.
Hey, he's donezo, man. Good call.
I appreciate that, Chief.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Frank in Fayetteville. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, Mafia, stand up.
I'm your hater.
I have no comments on Day-Day's comments, by the way. No comments. I have one request and one wake-up call. My request is, you know, tonight I'm taking the wife out to the Three Doors Down Creed concert, right? So maybe we do a little Creed Three Doors Down music intro coming out today, you know, behind the scenes. Yeah. My wake-up call, though, unfortunately, is for my wife. And any wives out there that make leftovers after Thanksgiving,
be careful.
Come Monday, those leftovers need to be in the trash.
Oh,
I don't want more leftovers on the Monday after Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Hey, don't you make your own food?
That's a little bit of a hot take.
Whoa, I do cook a lot.
I'm just kidding.
Calm down. Whoa.
I'm just kidding. You left it open. Hey, I had to tee off. Come on.
You're a brave man for even saying your wife needs to
I know.
Call. Look, man, I try to refrain from that. Yeah, but... I don't know. Is Monday Monday's the cutoff line for Thanksgiving leftovers?
Plies did a whole thing on this. I think it was last year. I got to go pull it up. But I think he had a whole theory on how long you can actually keep leftovers for.
I don't know, man.
I'm a firm believer in all food gets a week in the fridge.
A week?
Yeah. Most everything gets a week. And if you don't eat it in a week, then I think you need to throw it out. Because you don't. I mean...
Yeah,
I've gotten food poisoning over some bad asparagus before, and I don't tempt fate.
What a bad thing to get food poisoning.
The crappy thing was? I was dieting hardcore. It was like chicken and green beans, chicken and asparagus. It was right before we went on a vacation.
What does asparagus smell like when you throw it up?
I hate asparagus. Sorry.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't just throw it up, brother. I'll tell you what that smelled like if you want.
Frank in Fayetteville, I wasn't trying to come at you. You left it open, so like I felt like I had to. It presented itself. So, you know, sometimes you have to do what you have to do.
Do what you got to do.
In those moments. All right, let's go to Frank and McDonough. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, everybody, how you doing?
What's up, Frank?
Hey, I have a wake-up call for Mike. I mean, you say you hate teams getting an automatic bid, but it seems like every other year Alabama gets an automatic bid. They've got more automatic bids than any other team, period, including this year. So give me the scenario where Alabama's out. Is it Clemson beating SMU so both of them can get in, or Miami sneak in something? Because I mean, they are trying real hard to get Alabama, and I get it. It's ratings. It's Vegas. So let's just call it what it is.
Yeah. Well, so, first of all, I mean, good call. Uh-huh. I don't
call out.
I don't hate
it's a great call.
I don't hate
phenomenal call.
Bids. I don't have a problem at all with automatic bids.
Shouldn't. Your team has one every year.
Yeah, that's it. I sat in here earlier, about an hour ago, and said if SMU loses to Clemson, I still think they should get in over Alabama. And that's how I feel. That's really how I feel. The people that I could have the argument, I don't think Ole Miss or South Carolina have an argument over Bama. I really don't. But I think Miami would if they really wanted to go to task. But they've lost two times in the last, 3 weeks?
Ole Miss... That's a tricky one because of their losses. I'll say this. I think it's one I'm going to ask Jerry Palm. Hey, Jerry, how did Alabama get the automatic bid? Like, they automatic, you know, have it every year.
They get the benefit of the doubt
every
time?
Did they pay, like, is it like a subscription that they have to the college football playoff where they're in every year?
I'm trying to get these last few callers in. Let's go to Anthony in Covington. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning. Papa Squid, how are we doing this morning, sir?
Good,
Papa.
Sir. You?
Doing well. All-American, how we doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm having a great morning, buddy.
And our Olympian, how we doing this morning, Miss Tiff?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, Obi, hit me with that. Wham, wham, wham.
Wham, wham, wham.
There we go. All right, so it is the holiday season. Everybody's talking about leftovers. Tiff has obviously chose violence this morning, telling men to make their own food. Goodness. It's fantastic. I love it. Y'all say too much on the radio, and I'm here for it. All right, so with the holiday season around, I want to take a moment. I don't think we're talking about it enough, man. How about these Hawks, right?
Dude.
We got Barrier Thief out there, Defensive Player of the Month. When's the last time we had a Defensive Player of the Month on the Hawks, man? Like, I think with the holiday season around, we need to be changing the name of this team. And great holiday movie with Home Alone, I think they need to be called the Sticky Bandits, man. Like, it's crazy to go to a game and see these guys, like, playing team defense. That's the big thing. Like, the switches, they're great. They're talking. They're communicating. Like, and anyone who has ever said, oh, Trey's a terrible defender, no. Like, if you give him people who want to play defense around, Trey wants to play defense. Yes, he's undersized, right? If he gets down low, he's going to be at a disadvantage. But the switches, Zachary Richache, absolutely fantastic pick, looking to be like the real deal. His scoring's not there yet, but that's going to come in time. But the defensive awareness, the length, man, I'm telling you, we got a first round in the NBA Cup with the Knicks.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
I love that. And I'm actually ashamed that we got this far in the show without talking about Dyson Daniels winning the Defensive Player of the Month. Like, that he's right. When's the last time that happened for the Atlanta Hawks?
Let's discuss more when we come back here, in addition to getting you back to some...
We got Jerry Palm coming.
So we can get back to the Hawk stuff before we do Life of Squid. But up next, we've got Jerry Palm. He's a sports writer for CBS, college football, all over it. He joins us next. And here's that creed for you, Jerry. Jerry and, or not Jerry, Frank in Fayetteville. The disrespect, I'm sorry. All right, we'll be right back here on the morning show.
You think Day-Day thinks something about Creed?
92.9 The Game.
Does he hate Creed too?
We are back here on the morning shift, and we are going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find college football writer for CBS Sports, Jerry Palm, joining us here on the show. Good morning, Jerry.
Morning. How are y'all?
We're doing good. Some of us better than others. These guys have been debating. You know, we have an Alabama, you know, All-American here on our show,
don't
Jerry.
Don't try to get me in a fight already, okay? I very clearly said I wasn't sure they should, JJ, it should be the one in, Jerry. So everybody's picking fights with me, and I've been the one guy that's been like, I don't know if they deserve it.
But isn't it just more fun with a little bit of chaos, Jerry?
Yep. Well, there was a case for Miami. I actually had projected Miami to finish ahead of Alabama. And the case, though, is, you know, better record and the quality of their losses, especially when you consider Alabama with a no-show at Oklahoma, than their worst performance in 20-something years since Nick Saban was coaching on the other sideline. But it's, you know, Alabama's case is they've played a very good schedule. They have some quality wins, you know, and despite their record, they really tested themselves this year much more than Miami was able to. So, you know, that's Alabama's case, and, you know, the committee went with Alabama. I don't really have a problem with it. It's, you know, they had to pick one, and the case for Alabama is a good case.
Well, Jerry, I'm glad you said that, because I was there for a couple of years under Mike Shula, transitioned to Nick Saban, right? And I was telling them this morning, I don't remember us ever losing by more than two scores, even under Mike Shula. So, like, to your point, go back 20-plus years. And that's been my biggest problem with Alabama. I'm like, if they're not in, I don't think they deserve it because of Oklahoma no-show. You just don't get beat by three touchdowns to a bad Oklahoma team and then say, hey, put
Yeah, actually, the last time it happened, Mike Shula was coaching. It was, I want to say, a 27-3 loss to LSU.
There you go.
In 2003 with Nick Saban on coaching LSU.
There you go. So that's Mike's first year at Alabama. Yeah, so there you go. So I guess my next question is, if SMU were to slip up against Clemson, is SMU that team that would then take Alabama's spot in the top 12?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think so. I think SMU look a lot more like Miami at 11-2 than they look like Alabama. their profiles would be very similar. They'd have a couple of good losses and no wins over anybody in the field, and maybe nobody even in the rankings. I don't know, they beat Syracuse because Syracuse crawled in the rankings at the end, but I think their best win, if I'm not mistaken, is Duke, and I haven't got it in front of me. But I think that if Miami's behind Alabama at 10-2, I think, you know, SMU's profile looks a whole lot more like Miami's, and that they're probably behind Alabama as well. The problem for SMU is losing to, you know, a Clemson team that's in the mid-teens of the rankings, 17, something like that. And, you know, that would be considered, you know, something of an upset. And when you get upset in your conference championship game, you are going to fall. More often than not, you actually fall behind the team that beat you. But with Clemson sitting there with three losses already, that's not likely. But I don't see everybody says SMU stays in if they lose. I don't think that's a very clear-cut thing at all. And I would not at all be surprised if they fell behind Alabama and maybe even Miami, although the fact that they're 11-2 and Miami's 10-2 might keep them ahead of Miami, but their profile is very similar to Miami's with another loss on it.
All right, Jerry Palm joining us from CBS Sports. Jerry, I understand the loss that South Carolina had to Alabama and the brutal one that they actually suffered to Ole Miss, which is, I think might be the one that kept them down. But we've always heard in the past, and I go back and I've asked other people the exact same question about, hey, you know, the hottest team sometimes is sitting right there and they get left out because a computer formula leaves out 2007 Georgia, right? Or, you know, they don't have a metric that other the only four teams get you in, conference title, that kind of stuff. Does South Carolina have an argument being potentially the hottest team in the country with wins over, you know, teams like Texas A&M at the time was a one-loss team that was high up in the top. They were 10th, I think. Clemson being a team. Does South Carolina have an argument, or do those losses to Ole Miss and Bama just completely say no?
Well, I mean, you're mentioning a lot of things that aren't really criteria, like what teams were like when you originally played them. They measure your schedule against what they are now, not what they were at the day you played them. There's no game time rankings. There's no game time consideration at all as to what that team looked like at that time. Being hot now is also not criteria. You're evaluated on your entire season. There's no recency bias to what they do. But this committee, you know, one of their criteria is head-to-head. And it's one criteria that they have tried very hard to respect when they can. You're not always able to do it. But when they can, they have tried to respect head-to-head. So they lost to Mississippi. They lost to Alabama. I never thought for a minute they were going above either of those teams because of those games.
We've got CBS sports writer covering college football, the bracketologist, Jerry Palm, joining us here on the morning shift on the WadeFord.com hotline. Jerry, so I was trying to look at your projections, or I was pulling them up. I'll tell you right now, we know Georgia is at 5 and Ohio State at 6. So do you feel comfortable with that, knowing the loss that Ohio State just had against a Michigan team that's not the same Michigan that we've seen in the past?
Yeah, I think that was what I expected of Ohio State. Really the only projection that I actually had Miami ahead of Alabama, but otherwise I think my projections were correct for the top eight. I have no problem with Ohio State being there. You have to remember, this is the team with two top 10 wins in Penn State and Indiana, played a good schedule. They're the one team in the Big Ten that got a good, you know, good among the good teams anyway, that got a good schedule that they could prove themselves with. The Michigan loss obviously hurts, and that's why they are where they are. But, you know, when you take the season as a whole, Ohio State is probably where they belong.
Yeah. Jerry, I guess our listeners down here in Atlanta, one of the big things we've been kind of focused on, Texas and Georgia are rematching, obviously, in Atlanta, this coming up Saturday for the SEC championship. Can you make the assumption that the loser of this game is still locked into hosting a home playoff game on December 20th?
Well, Texas, I think, certainly would be. And I don't really expect Georgia to suffer much either in a loss, unless they get drilled, unless, you know, Texas just runs them. Then maybe Georgia could fall a little bit. But historically speaking, these championship games for the committee, when the lower-ranked team loses a competitive game, the committee is very forgiving of that. If they get blown out, that's different. If there's the lower-ranked team wins, then that's different too. But if the lower-ranked team loses a competitive game, there's very little negative impact for that team.
Well, so what would happen if Oregon loses then? Is Oregon going to just fall right to five? Would Notre Dame stay? Because Notre Dame right now at four, if they lose, I mean, they're not going to lose. They're not going to play. So when the conference champions come in, they're going to just slide down one most likely. But could Oregon slide them down a little bit if Oregon was to lose and kind of slide everything down? Or because, I mean, that's what I'm looking at now, because with Penn State sitting at three.
I would be surprised if Oregon fell below Notre Dame just because of the schedule that they've played. Notre Dame's schedule is not great. A&M at the beginning of the year. Did A&M stay in the rankings? I don't think they did.
They're out.
So they lost to Northern Illinois. They didn't beat a ranked team, but A&M and USC were probably the two best teams they played. And yeah, you know, given the kind of season that Oregon had, the Penn State would finish ahead of them, but I don't think they fall any lower than that.
Jerry, we appreciate the insight. It's been fun having you on this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
All right, that was CBS Sports' Jerry Palm. He is all over college football. You can check out his articles on CBSSports.com. You can also follow him on X at JP Palm CBS. He's a bracketologist. All the things.
Yeah. Tiff, you tried to stir up controversy on that man, and I've been very friendly to the non-Alabama fans about where they sit in this thing.
Look,
okay?
I'm just, you know.
I think you deserved it.
Things just come to me this morning, and I just say them. I can't control
it.
I
honestly cannot believe.
You caused a lot of controversy on today's show, actually.
Tiffany is letting her intrusive thoughts win today.
You know what it is, guys? I rode the Peloton this morning.
Is that what it is?
It's a cold shower. It makes your brain think differently.
cold plunge, Tiff.
Them endorphins.
I like Peloton,
Tiff. Different today.
So I didn't do it yesterday. You notice the difference? I think I was much meaner yesterday. All right. When we come back here on the morning shift, we'll talk Hawks and some honors. We'll also hit a life of squid. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. And yes, your defensive player of the month comes from the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA. Of course, that's what we're talking about, Dyson Daniels. So big win. Big congrats to him, and a big news for the Hawks.
Dyson Daniels right now looks like he could be the guy that has turned the tide for – I didn't want to use that word.
I know you didn't, but I just put it in there for
he's
you.
He's turned the tide. Thank you, though. Turned the tide for the Hawks trade woes, because it finally looks like as an organization that has lost trade after trade after trade, Dyson Daniels looks like he has changed that.
Yeah.
You look elated. I am, and I'm finding trouble finding the words, because we've just been losers, and this organization with trades, and we finally figured out a way to win a damn trade. It just feels good.
The best part is you saw it on the floor, mano a mano, the other night.
Yeah.
And you were like, this is very clearly tilted towards the Hawks winning this trade.
You know what? Maybe I will cry on my daughter's porn, because I almost want to cry over this Dyson Daniels trade these days. Anyways, we got bigger business to tend to.
Way bigger. Huge. I'd say huge. All right, all right, all right. How long is that intro?
How about those Kennesaw State Athletics?
I got something. Hey. Yeah, I got stuff to say. Well, by the way, I love walking in and seeing him excited about the NBA.
Isn't it like
my little Southern buddy over there talking NBA? He's right, man.
I told him the wagon was closed, man. Like, it's closed.
Did I tell you what Bill Simmons said on his podcast? Bill Simmons, who wrote an 800-page book on the NBA called The NBA Book, who said, "How do you think the New Orleans Pelicans feel about trading away?" This is his words. A hybrid of Kawhi Leonard and Scottie Pippen in Dyson Daniels.
Woo!
That's what he called them.
I mean,
it's a little early to say, but
that's strong.
There's nobody that likes that trade in New Orleans now looking at Dyson Daniels, who now has a chance. And haven't we seen that at sports? You've probably seen it. Tiff, and at any level, right? Sometimes guys just need a coach to give them a chance.
Yeah,
they're sitting there, right?
He's a new place to play and do what
he's averaging 5 a game, and he can't get looks. And even if he's in the game, he's not being told you can shoot. And Quinn Snyder says, you're going to keep playing and you're going to keep shooting. And now New Orleans is like, oh, damn, dude. This guy was right in our building.
No bueno.
And we got Mr. Pound the basketball, DeJounte Murray, right?
I think 7 points in 38 minutes from DJ Murray.
It's also who he is.
I know.
Like, ball, he is
the pull-up jumpers, I was like, thank God I don't have to worry about that this year.
You know how much some of these algorithm coaches are like, why are you taking mid-range jumpers?
All the time.
Ever. Like, Joe Mazzulla in Boston?
Yes.
That guy would never play. He's like, what don't you understand about the shot 8 feet back is worth 1.5 times what you took. Anyway, I got a quiz for you guys. You're going to get to play along here. Texas is coming to town.
Woo!
Texas is coming to town. Get ready. I would say the restaurants and bars will be replete. Is that the word? Replete?
Sounds right. Sure.
With a lot of oil money. And got some oil money coming through here, right?
I'm sure Bijan has a contingent in town.
Yeah, private parties and whatnot.
Google that word.
So if I had to say the Mount Rushmore of Texas sports, I'm going to include the entire state, okay? I'm going to give you like 10 guys. You tell me if I leave anybody out,
okay?
Right?
All right.
This is anybody that was attached to, and I'm going to include Houston and Dallas in there, right?
And it's tough.
Earl Campbell, Tony Dorsett, Kevin Durant, Emmett Smith, Roger Staubach, Nolan Ryan, Lance Armstrong, Vince Young, Dirk Nowitzki, Ricky Williams, Troy Aikman, Jose Altuve, to name a few.
Babe Didrikson Zaharis, I think, is a famous Texan athlete. She's a famous golfer.
It doesn't have to be from Texas because he has Dirk on that list. Anyone that played
in Texas.
I don't know what you just said, but I'm trying to talk about
the Tyler Rose, Earl Campbell. Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'd say Earl Campbell plays Oilers, the best, most famous Oiler of all time, and the most famous Longhorn of all time.
Yes.
So he's on Mount Rushmore, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Who else gets on?
Dirk's
always on it for me.
Who, say again?
I love Dirk. I love that whole match.
So Dirk brings him a title. He beats the big three. He has the game in Miami against Ray Allen, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade, right?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, they lose the next year, too. If Bosch doesn't pull that offensive rebound pass to Ray Allen for the three, that team that's like 3, 4, 5, remember they come out? They lost year one. Dirk Nowitzki was
dominant.
Hero status, right?
I'm going to tell you my pick by giving you a Nick Saban quote. How about this? The guy was the hardest working player I ever coached, but he couldn't stop smoking dope. Ricky Williams that played for Nick in Miami was like literally I think Nick's favorite player of all time. I loved the guy. I thought Ricky would be at the top of my list.
I think Emmitt Smith has to be the number one Cowboy of all time. I mean, leads the NFL in all-time rushing, delivers 3 Super Bowls, is the biggest star on the most famous Dallas team. Staubach didn't win as many.
Yeah,
so I put Emmitt.
So
Vince Young
guys.
Won them a title.
Yeah.
One of the greatest college football games ever played.
I think Nolan Ryan has to be on the list for people.
It's hard, though.
Because he played so many places, but he's a part of the ownership group now down there.
He's unreal.
I mean.
He is iconic status. But, again, these other guys delivered titles, right? Although Earl Campbell
did
not.
Did you say Roger Clemens?
I did not say Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
I don't think – Clemens is tough for me because his career was such a Northeastern –
But he ends up in Houston at the end.
It was the Houston thing where he was like, I'll show up midway through the year. I'm just going to live here on my ranch. I'll see you in a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
So throw bullpens to his son.
I don't know. Guaranteed that Earl Campbell's on and Emmitt Smith is on. Everybody else, I think you have to talk about Dirk and Vince, Troy Aikman, Tom Landry.
I want to go Ricky, but I don't know if you can put 3 running backs on.
You mentioned Lance.
How do you put Ricky Williams ahead of Vince Young? I mean, how do you put Vince? Vince Young delivers the title.
Yeah,
but Ricky was there 4 years, broke records. I mean, he was.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Somebody to kick around, right?
Let me ask you a question real quick on this
list.
You mentioned Lance Armstrong.
Yes.
Where does he rank with the disgrace that he went through with the scandal?
Because I mean, he
misremembers.
Changes everything. Yeah. You watch the documentary. It took him so long, just like Pete Rose. bold-faced, stare in the face, do 100 interviews. I never bet on baseball. Maybe I bet on baseball. Lance Armstrong burying everybody around him. That's and destroying yeah. careers, so no, he's out.
That's the worst part.
He's out.
What was the Brewers outfielder name that did the same thing through every single person?
Was it Braun?
Ryan Braun.
Yeah,
through every single person under the bus.
And he's not a Texas guy. Don't forget Rafael Palmeiro with this crap he pulled.
We got Rusty Manziel talking signing day,
big day for him,
and a ton on obviously Sandy's in the house. A bunch on the playoffs, all kinds of other stuff.
All right, that's it for us here in the Morning Shift. Steakhouse is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.